Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What if everyone was turning their head to look at you with a brand new Flowmaster exhaust system from Exhaust Pro in Macomb on Georgia Avenue? Cruise in style with Exhaust Pro of Macomb on Georgia Avenue.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Grateful to be your host on Super Talk Mississippi. I am Steve Azar, reminding you that my pals down in Macon, Mississippi, come on, it's catfish. Where's it homegrown? Right here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Visit mississippi.org. Love celebrating everything it represents. Plan a road trip. Get in your vehicle. Find someone you love and let it roll. All right. At this point, part upteen. Is that a real word? It's been a lot, I can tell you, but it's never enough, as I always say. Today's guest, dear friend of mine, becoming one of the classic storytellers of our Mississippi in a line and lineage of some great ones. I also am proud to call him a dear, dear friend. Mississippi Tourism Association, some of the boards he served on, executive board and president, Mississippi Delta Tourism Board, served as prez 3 times, Mississippi Blues Foundation board member, E.E. Bass Foundation Executive Board, Greenville Arts Council Executive Board, Bridging the Blues, former producer of the International Blues Challenge and the Blues Awards. So let's get ready to rock and learn some connecting of dots that no one would ever be able to do except this man, my pal, the head of the Washington County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Wesley Smith. I know that you and I have had multiple conversations. We're up into the teens now. I think you just passed Trent Demas as the number one most interviewed person on my show. Trent, you know, obviously for folks out there that don't know Trent, or maybe not putting the name together, Wesley, he is the tallest gymnast in history to win a gold medal back in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. And when we start interviewing, it takes a while. He digs deep. So you have, I think, set the bar, and I'm glad, and I appreciate you joining me again. How's everything?
Man, I'm doing good this morning. It feels like spring's here. Have you noticed? You've been outside today?
I'm not allowed outside. Sunny. I'm in a bubble. Not allowed out there.
Oh, they don't let you out. No pollen for you.
No. I get in the bubble, and they bubble, and they take me to the stage, and they take me out of the bubble. I play, they put me back in the bubble, and they bring me back home. I love it. All right, so we're going to talk about some of these great stories that you have written about down here, and you're on Super Talk every once in a while with Paul Gallo at times, right?
That's right.
Getting and talking and doing the thing. You've taken Hank Burdine's place, the late, great Hank Burdine, and those are shoes that I feel like down here you're the only one that can fill. I think it's pretty amazing that you came
along.
That's
a high compliment.
Well, I mean it. I mean it. All right. We're going to talk about the right arrangement. This is one of your great articles, Produces Results. Right, folks out there. Add a W in front of the word right as the name. And let me just start this to quote Wesley. Of all the musical stars that have come out of Mississippi, there is one man whose name you may not know, but the stars you love, they know it. He helped build their careers and in the process added some beautiful pages to the American songbook. I love how you say that. While your eyes as you read this might not recognize his name, believe me, your ears would recognize his work. Let's get going.
That's exactly right. Well, and I didn't mean to do another pun on the word right, but I just did. But I'm talking about Benjamin Wright, as you said, spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. Benjamin Wright was born on July 11th in 1946 in Greenville, Mississippi. Steve, and he attended Armstrong Elementary in his youth and sang in the choir at St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Greenville starting at age 10. And he had a sister that was taking piano lessons, a little older than Benjamin, taking piano lessons. And when no one was around as a child, he would secretly play on her piano. And obviously, he's one of those naturally gifted folks that just take to music immediately. But as he grew older, Benjamin attended Coleman High School, where his interest in music grew. And he joined the high school choir, where he shared the stage with Walter Turnbull. And Walter would grow up to be Dr. Walter Turnbull. And some of you who are maybe gospel fans are familiar with that name. But Walter grew up in Greenville and went on to New York, and he founded the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing group. And but eventually, Benjamin joined the Coleman High School band.
All right, real quick, I want to interject this. I think about looking at 1946 and when he was born, his family members, maybe some of his siblings, if he had them, whatever. But this is a time when my dad's dad had all the movie theaters in Greenville. I start thinking about Benjamin Wright's family and the older ones, his parents, whatever, who would have actually, you know, been at my grandfather's at one of the theaters. I think that's just,
absolutely.
I just love connecting those dots in just regard of history and the Delta and how history is going to be made. Somebody in that audience would go on to do incredible things. You know, I just always am moved by that, but keep
I love that. And you know, talk about this cross pollination from the arts. I'm sure Benjamin, as you were, I were, everybody was, you were affected by the films, everything you see or hear in your youth. And I'm sure that contributed to his life in the arts. But, well, he joined the Coleman High School band, and the Coleman band really could have an entire book written about it. Its first notable leader was Greenville postman Winchester Davis. Hmm. And we'll talk about Winchester maybe for a whole pod down the road. But in addition to delivering the mail and training the young musicians, Davis led a popular dance band in the Mississippi Delta called Little Winds, the Lux Aces. And for you, Steve, if the name Little Wind sounds familiar, there's a on Nelson Street the night before the Delta Blues Fest, they have the Little Wind Fest in his honor.
Mm-hmm.
Another little small fest. But one of Winchester Davis's students was Roy Huddleston. And Roy would grow up going to be the Coleman band director and lead his own dance band, and they were called the Green Tops, which was a play on the name of the long-running and very popular Vicksburg-based band, the Red Tops. And if you ask folks, our parents' generations, they will know the Red Tops.
Wow.
They were kind of the Cracker Jacks party band of the Delta for that generation. Well, Wright played the bass drum in the Coleman High Band, and he played the organ in the Green Tops. And the Green Tops are playing all over, right? Parties, they're playing probably down on Nelson Street, dances, that sort of thing. Well, by his senior year, he was the drum major of the marching band. But after playing so many night gigs in the various clubs, he began to lose interest in the school band. Not surprising at that age. Well, in 1965, he joined blues singer Ted Taylor's band, and he began to tour. He's playing organ or keys on that.
Yeah.
And while on tour with the band, he was drafted, but he chose to join the Air Force instead of the Army. And when he was discharged in 1969, he moved to Chicago. And there he enrolled in the Chicago Conservatory and began to write musical arrangements for various record labels around based in Chicago.
Hey, Wesley, I wonder what it took to back in the day to be accepted into the Conservatory of Chicago. If you had to be recommended, you had to pass some sort of eye or ear test, right? I mean, I wonder what it took.
Well, imagine too, that's a great point, Steve, because he'd had high school music training and then he'd gone off into the service. And you would assume it's a pretty high bar to make it into the Chicago Conservatory, which would tell you what a natural musician he must have been.
Yeah,
he must have a musical genius.
I bet he walked in and probably got to perform or do some sort of tryout, and they went, "Oh my goodness!" I mean, you know, you see talent immediately when you have an eye for it. Let's take a quick break. Keep you lock yourself in right there. We're going to get started with my pal Wesley Smith. He's rolling right now. We're talking the right arrangement produces results. Benjamin Wright down here from the Mississippi Delta that changed the world of music. That's for sure. We're going to get to why. But before we get to the why aren't you eating Superior Catfish? There's catfish. There's Superior Catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Produced right here in Mississippi. Visit Mississippi.org. Knows the arts and music and celebrates it over the last two decades now. Better than Texas. That's what I'm talking about. Now we're talking. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar. $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC. Don't get me started talking about Texas football, Texas music. I got some friends over there, a lot of good friends, great songwriters. But in Mississippi, we are the birthplace of it all. And I would also take, Wesley Smith, by the way, is my guest today. We could make a pretty good argument for why Mississippi's Friday Night Lights are even a little brighter than Texas's. Could we not?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that another time.
Okay, all right.
Don't get me started.
You're about to get me rolling.
I know. My folks, I got some friends I know that listen to this podcast in Houston, and I apologize, but you guys are going to have to just do some research and then call me. All right, before we do some research, my dear friends over there in Macon, Mississippi, Catfish is produced in America and in Mississippi, and why would you get it from anywhere else? Go to superiorcatfish.com. Shout out to those folks over there. Visit Mississippi.org. We are celebrating that. You can plan a road trip anytime, and you can thank me because there's so many wonderful things that make you proud of who we are. All right, we're talking Benjamin Wright. We left off at the Conservatory of Chicago where I interrupted you, Wesley. Wesley Smith is my guest. Right. Keep rolling.
Right. So Benjamin grew up in Greenville, played in the Coleman High Band, goes off into the Air Force to do his service, and then he ends up in Chicago afterwards and studies at the Chicago Conservatory. Well, and he began to write musical arrangements. And this is when I tell you this, Benjamin Rice, probably you don't automatically know that name, but there are a lot of people like this within the music industry that don't in and of themselves become the star on the marquee, but they make it all happen. They make the magic happen behind the scenes.
Are we talking a little bit into this? We talking pre-Quincy Jones sort of thought process in modern pop music?
Yeah.
Right?
Sort that's of right.
That's, yeah.
Well, and when he comes in, I'll get there in just a second, but everything's changing, right? Benjamin gets, you know, becomes pretty well known in Chicago's music community, and he ends up picking up work as a songwriter and an arranger and a musician as well, what acts like Syl Johnson, Jackie Wilson, a lot of folks are familiar with his music, Your Love's Lifting Me Higher, and Reed Petit, he had a lot of big hits. And the great VJ recording artist and Sunflower, Mississippi native, Jerry Butler, who we talked about on the Vivian Carter episode. But eventually, Benjamin starts his own group, and it's called the Benjamin Wright Orchestra. And as their popularity grew, the band got a house gig at the High Chaparral nightclub on the south side of Chicago, kind of a famous club there. Well, as the heyday of Chicago record companies like VJ and Chess We're getting up in the 70s. That's kind of wrapping up. The industry's changing. You're starting to see all the great independent record labels as the industry grew and got more consolidated. They start to fade away, and the epicenter of the music industry at that point starts to become Los Angeles, California. Well,
right, but back up for one sec, because I just want to say something. I want to think about his age at this point. So he moves out to California. You're about to tell us he's 29 years old. So think about this kid that goes off to the military after high school. You figure he's 20 years old, 21 years old when he gets 22, maybe when he gets to Chicago, and the next 6 or 7 years solidifies himself in a city the size of Chicago from a little small high school down here in Mississippi. I just think once again, that shows the potency, right, of what goes on down here in our state. Anyway, I'm worked up again.
Well, and I'm quite sure, Steve, that because he was from the Mississippi Delta, and there's such a strong connection between the Mississippi Delta and Chicago, especially music-wise, that he already knew folks. He had played on Nelson Street and in the clubs around the Delta. Well, you know, Muddy's up there, Howlin' Wolf's up there. I guarantee you he knew a lot of these folks. I know he knew Ike Turner. Ike would come down and play on Nelson or whatever. So he had a kind of a base of maybe not friends, but at least connections when he got up there. I'm sure they helped him kind of get ingrained in the scene up there.
Okay, so a big move cross-country from Midwest to almost all the way to L.A., right?
He takes that leap, and he moves out there in 1975. And this is where he'll kind of come on the scene where he expands Who Knows Him. And again, you may not know his name, but this is the era where you will sure know the music he was involved in. So at this same time, the Temptations, the great Motown band, the Temptations, they were leaving Motown and moving to Atlantic Records. And they brought on Wright as the songwriter, a producer, and a musical director. And this led to other gigs as a music director for acts like Aretha Franklin, Rance Allen, who Rance started on Stax and just an amazing performer, Barry White, and Gladys Knight and the Pips. And in 1979, he gets a phone call.
I'm singing to you. Go ahead.
He gets a phone call from legendary producer Quincy Jones that would lift his career.
At that. Look at me.
Yeah, you called it.
I've conjured Quincy up.
I guess I'll throw in here, if you've not seen the documentary on Netflix, The Greatest Night in Pop, that Quincy's on, go watch it. Watch it tonight.
Wow, it's insane. The making of We Are the
World. It is amazing.
Yeah.
That's right. Greatest congregation of talent there will ever be, singing talent
I've ever seen. Yeah. It's a great recommendation. Well, yeah.
Well, Quincy's background before he was a producer, I mean, he was a horn player. He'd been in jazz bands, big bands. And so he sort of had that background. And Steve, you should comment on this, but what he's going to do here is arranging. So if you write a basic song on your acoustic guitar and you fill it out and you send it somebody to arrange it, they're going to write horn lines, organ lines. They're going to bring that song to life, build walls of sound, as it were.
True.
And so that's what Benjamin is going to do. So Quincy Jones asked Benjamin Wright to come into the studio and help him work on the arrangement for a well, let me back up. At that point, when Quincy calls him, Jones was working with Michael Jackson. So Michael had just left Motown and signed a deal with Epic Records. And Michael Jackson's looking for a way to break away from the Jackson 5 sound and to do something completely different. So if you can remember the Jackson 5 songs you've heard, obviously it's kids and teenagers as they're growing up. And it's a totally different sound from what Michael's kind of signature sound would come to be when he went solo. Quincy's producing. He calls in Benjamin Wright to arrange. He calls him in, and the first Michael Jackson song he hands him is "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough." Mm. Well, Wright took the basic track home, and he wrote the string and the organ arrangement. And when he brought it back, now Jones knew who Benjamin Wright was from and knew he was a really imaginative, creative, talented guy. He knew back in Chicago. But he kind of calls him out of the blue and gets him to do this. Well, Benjamin Wright brings it back, and Quincy Jones is just floored by what he heard. And he handed him another track to work on the spot, this one entitled Rock With You. And Wright brought it back to Quincy Jones. And again, Quincy Jones was floored. And if you haven't heard these songs in a while, go back and listen to them. They were Michael's first big solo hits. And they are completely different than what the Jackson 5 sound was.
Is this off the wall? Off the wall?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is the beginning of what Michael's whole solo career would be. That common sound that you know you're hearing Michael, even from the music before he sings a note.
Coleman Junior High, right? It's junior high, not high school.
It was a high school then.
Junior High School, Greenville, Mississippi, direct line to the coolest sounds on Michael Jackson's records.
Yes. Those songs are still the coolest. I mean, great songs last forever. And that was the beginning of the king of pop.
Can we end this show right now? Why do we have to go any further? Do we have folks out there that are driving, pull your car over and go, wow. I mean, come on. If you're from another state.
Come on, don't stop till you get them up and dance in your car, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I want to rock with you. Well, speaking of rocking, let's take a quick break with my pal, Wesley Smith, one of Mississippi's new prophetic, bad storytellers. Bad in a good way. B-A-A-D. A B-A-A-A-A-D. There's three A's in your bad, Wesley. You know what I'm saying? Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. There's catfish. There's Superior Catfish, produce writer in Mississippi. Visit Mississippi.org. I love the fact that I get to go from catfish. Something we put on our plate goes down, and it soothes our stomachs. And then all the arts that Mississippi has to offer soothes the rest of us, our minds, our hearts, and souls. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar. $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program, and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Wesley Smith is my guest right now, and I'm going to have to push him along now because I keep interrupting because my mouth's wide open again. Like, what? What? Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm very impressed and impressionable, still like a 12-year-old at times. Anyway, Wesley Smith is my guest. SuperiorCatfish.com, produced right here in Mississippi. Should I say more? Visit Mississippi.org, never an afterthought. Plan your next road trip. All right, Wesley, where are we with Benjamin Wright? We're talking Michael Jackson's first solo records, Off the Wall. He's blowing up with him and Quincy Jones.
He's blowing up. So, yeah, Quincy Jones, the producer of the album, called in Benjamin Wright. Benjamin takes the basic tracks, does the arranging, just builds that sound we're so familiar with Michael Jackson's music. And so the two songs he did on that album, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and Rock With You, they both became number one hits when released in 1979. And the Off the Wall record is currently certified as 9 times platinum. Not bad. Michael Jackson and Benjamin Wright, as the arranger, won the Grammy for Song of the Year for Don't Stop Till You Get Enough that year.
Wow.
And that same night, Steve, he won another Grammy, Benjamin Wright did, for Earth, Wind, and Fire's Boogie Wonderland. And that opportunity began with a late night call from Earth, Wind, and Fire's lead singer, Maurice White. And Maurice had been producing a track for another group called the Curtis Brothers, but he just couldn't find the sound he thought would make the song a hit. So Maurice White calls Benjamin Wright. Wright got the track, worked on it for 3 days, and brought it back to White. And they get it in the studio, and Benjamin Wright ran through one take with the string section and then the horn section. And Maurice White, lead singer of Earth, Wind, and Fire, is just floored. Okay. And all told, there were 70 musicians on the track. You remember Boogie Wonderland? 70 musicians. And of course, the sound is incredible. Well, Maurice White called Benjamin Wright a few days later and told him it was no longer a Curtis Brothers song. It was now an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. He knew he had a hit on his hand after Benjamin Wright brought it back and decided that his band would record it instead of the other one. So Earth, Wind, and Fire brought in the Emotions, great, great band, to record the background vocals behind Maurice White's lead vocal. And the band had already finished recording their 9th studio album entitled I Am. But before it was released, Boogie Wonderland was added, and it became the album's first single, and it was a smash.
Huge hit.
And still a classic. Well, 2 years later, Wright and Quincy Jones would team up again on a song written by Benjamin Wright, Tony Coleman, and Kathy Wakefield, entitled 100 Ways, which is a beautiful, beautiful love song. Love that song. It went to number 5 on the charts.
Find 100 Ways. Oh, come on.
Yes.
Wow.
And he won another Grammy for that one. But Wright's talent became so sought after as an arranger that he went on to work for artists like Climax, The Whispers, Shalimar, Lakeside, Midnight Star, Destiny's Child, Brandy, Tony Braxton, Drew Hill, Josh Stone, Mary J. Blige, Frank Ocean, Outkast, and even Justin Timberlake as the years passed. Not bad for the Coleman High bass drummer who played the clubs on Nelson Street and Greenville in the weekends.
That's just, you know, I'm sitting here just wondering what goes through somebody so talented's mind growing up and what the world looks like to them, because they take the world and everything that's possible that inspires either way that can, you know, that can inspire you in a negative way. You know, you can be inspired, I think, in different ways, can't you? Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you be inspired negatively? Let me think about that. I guess it would inspire you to overcome the negativity, right?
That's right.
To prove
that's
it wrong.
Right.
And in our business, you're told you can't do this a lot. So you fail to talk about anyone that said he couldn't do it along the way.
Right.
Anyway, it's just insane to me.
Here's another thing, Steve. Maybe I'll get on my soapbox a little bit, because I like to do it from time to time, but Benjamin is not a name. Benjamin Wright's not a name many people knew, but everything I just told you, he has been incredibly successful and has made an incredible living at music. So you don't have to be the star to have a great, fulfilling career.
Sure.
And make a good living, right? Yeah. And so for our kids around the state, I mean, we do story after story on this podcast of people that came from a very modest background, and they do big, big things in music and in other things. Normally we talk about music. So take that to heart. Figure out how you get a start, you work hard, and you keep at it, and the sky's the limit.
Mississippi, it's just once again, which is why the Grammy Museum landed in Cleveland. You know what I mean? That's right. Because of stories like Benjamin Wright. The one word you kept mentioning was Grammy, right? I mean, it's insane. And how the whole world, I mean, you talk about Michael Jackson, you're talking about Quincy Jones, you're talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire, Mary J. Blige, you're talking about Justin Timberlake. You're talking about such
huge stars,
generational stars who are born, like Justin Timberlake's not even born when he's rocking, right? I mean, this is insane how much talent just keeps coming. It just keeps coming, and how relative he remains with his work, even from way back in the early Quincy Jones days and Michael Jackson going solo, all the way to Justin Timberlake. It's insane
that he's still morphing, and he can stay current, and not not stay current with the trends, set current trends.
Okay, so I don't. I use the word insane, Wesley, but you know, I believe in it. I've seen it, and I'd like to think that me personally, that I'm still relevant in what I do, right? And I'd like to think that I'm getting better. You know, although people, when they see me, man, we love your radio show. Man, we love that radio show. You still playing music? Do you still know how to play guitar? You written any songs since Waiting on Joe back in 2001? Well, there's been 7 albums out. And, you know, anyway, so funny. But, hey, I'm grateful to have the voice on this show for sure and get the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. I don't know if we're going to be able to jump to the other story right now. We can just kind of dabble around a little bit, talk about music and stuff. We've got a couple minutes left in this segment and about 7 in the next. What do you recommend?
Well, let's just talk a minute. One of the things I found out about Benjamin Wright, kind of doing some research on him, and this fascinates me, and I wonder if you do this, or you, I know you've known people that do this, but he had a natural ability to, I try to get my kids to do this. When we're listening to music, I will go tune everything out and listen to the bass line. Just listen to what the bass is playing. And then I'll pick another instrument, you know, and I think it helps them understand. It's when it's all together and seamless, it's beautiful, but there are individual parts by individual people that have to make it that way. And it's worth hearing that. But when Benjamin would write, as I was reading about him, he would get that track like from Quincy Jones, and he could just hear in his imagination the horn part, and it would go like this over the drums and bass and guitar, whatever was on the basic track. And he would hear the organ part, and everything got a different riff. And once you put all that together, that made that sound that when you hear it on the radio, it just sounds like genius, and it sounds like one thing, and it may be 50 things going on.
Yeah, but let's talk about how complex his needed to be. So when I'm writing a song, it's when I go into the studio and I can't, only way I can explain this is what happens in my mind, right? I hear parts that aren't happening. And it's all my friends, we say this. I go, did you hear that? Da, 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 da. And they're going, Steve, that's nowhere. But for some reason in your mind, you're hearing tones from other instruments that are doing something to you individually, which makes you, you know, and which makes us, that's what makes Benjamin Wright, Benjamin Wright. But he had to hear a zillion parts and put them together and make it work. When you're talking 70 parts with the Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? Boogie Wonderland, that's so many parts. So I get it, but the complexity of his mind and how it was working, I mean, one thing was leading to another for him. I can see it happening, but still, it was a lot to process.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. And that goes back, Steve, to what we talk about music brings people together. Like, there is something kind of spiritual and magical with humans and the ability to create music. Mm. The music is the soundtrack of our lives. It is how we mark time. You hear a song from when you were in high school, it puts you back in that time for a second. Or when you got married or had your first kid. That's how we mark time. We don't think about it consciously, but it has a sort of a magical hold. And that's why we come back to it. We treasure it. We treasure those old songs and albums. It is such a gift. But man, Benjamin Wright was and is. Benjamin's still with us. Just a special, special talent.
I'm marking time with Superior Catfish right now. We're going into the break. My friends down there in Macon, Mississippi, know what it's about. Produce right here. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. What else can I say? We'll be right back with Wesley Smith.
But you heal my hand, led me home. Bye.
life and in
succession to the palm of your hand is the target of a bill already passed by the U.S. House of Representatives that could see the app banned if its China-based parent company called ByteDance doesn't agree to sell it to a U.S. company. TikTok's critics call it a security risk, that it can influence bad behavior in children, and that it mines user data all in the service of China's Communist Party. And today, the FBI and intelligence officials will hold a closed-door classified briefing for members of the Senate who seem less enthusiastic for a ban. While the public won't know the specifics, the briefing is focusing on national security. Should the Senate pass the bill President Biden says he'd sign it, China calls the potential ban an act of bullying. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar with my dear friend Wesley Smith. I'm going to say top five storytellers today in Mississippi. And I don't know who the other four are right now. I'm going to have to do some thinking, and I may put him at the one spot soon at this point, because Wesley's done enough research now with his charisma on stage and this natural ability, because I've seen it him tell stories multiple times now, and how folks react to him is a very natural thing. But he also was born, and he was actually spawn, not born here in Mississippi. Can I say you were spawn? Is that okay?
Well, not in front of my mother, but
she said it. Spawn in Greenwood, Mississippi. I think I was spawned as well. Well, actually, I think I was adopted, but my parents, they won't quite admit it. But with that said, before we get started, Superior Catfish, there's nothing adopted as far as, so to speak, except you should adapt it to your plate. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Really great folks here in Mississippi. And visit mississippi.org. It's a road trip awaiting you, I can tell you right now. All right, Wesley, I'm not sure I'm more impressed now with this story over them all. You know, the John, Paul, Willie, and the Cochran brothers to me was like off the hook. Like, how'd you connect those dots? Can you think about with Benjamin Wright any other dots that maybe you had time to write about and you were limited to 2,000 words or whatever?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take Benjamin Wright and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we'll go backwards. Instead of going from the Mississippi out, we'll go from out back to Mississippi. All right.
All right.
We're going to do our 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon deal here.
Right.
So Benjamin produced Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
And the lead singer was Maurice White, and the horn section, which is kind of probably the biggest part of what people think about Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I'm going to draw a blank on his name, but maybe it'll come to me while we're talking. The main horn player was from Shaw, Mississippi. Okay. And they had been in St. Louis and Chicago before Earth, Wind, and Fire on, do you remember the Fontella Bass songs, big hit, Rescue Me, Rescue Me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Well, Fontella, when she recorded that, Maurice White and the gentleman, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Maurice was playing drums, and the other guy from Shaw was playing bass on that track. All right. Fontella got her start. She got discovered in St. Louis by Oliver Sane, who we've talked about on here, that played drums on Nelson going back to like the 30s, ended up being sampled on a track by the notorious B.I.G. and P. Diddy and some other big artists. But he discovered her in St. Louis and brought her in to sing backup with Little Milton.
That's my man.
In St. Louis.
Woo!
Little Milton. And of course, Little Milton lived in, before he went to St. Louis, was down here in Greenville, born in Inverness, but he got his start playing on Nelson.
Grits ain't grocery.
So all of these
eggs
stories interweave.
Can I say that real quick? Grits ain't grocery.
Yeah, do it.
Eggs ain't poetry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
All of these stories, there are Mississippians woven in them left and right.
Wow. Steve Azar and the Kingsmen record at Club Ebony with Little Ray, who played with Little Milton for 30 years, right? He was in there, and when I played him down at the liquor store,
so good.
Just give him an amplifier and a guitar. It doesn't matter where it's from, what box it came from. It's all going to sound the same. It's just nuts, right? Anyway, he goes, I started telling him about Little Milton calling me Little Azar and all that, and, you know, I saw those guys play when I was growing up, and he goes, Steve, you're down at the liquor store song, which is where I met Little Milton down there liquor store in the barn days, you know, my brother in the barn and all that. And he goes, right, we got to go down to the B.B. King Museum and grab a guitar that I get, that I let the museum have, that little Milton gave little Ray. And he goes, in the case. Yeah. So he went there and he had all that sparkle from his suit. He goes, look at the sparkle still left from little Milton's suit. And he pulls it out of the, you know, the glass door. And he goes, yep, that's it. That's the guitar I used to, that little Milton used to play that he gave me. He goes, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put some new strings on this and get it cleaned up a little bit. And I'm going to play it on down at the liquor store. And for me, for me, that was the most, one of the most surreal moments of my musical career, because I remember that guitar. Right. And I remember the sparkly suits, all the nice things that little Milton said to me growing up, you know, and calling me little Lazar was funny to me, because he was giving me confidence where some people didn't want to give you that confidence. They wanted you to fail. My pal Wesley Smith, folks, I love sitting here and talking stories. It's the easiest thing I could possibly do. And I love sharing his ability to tell those stories with you. I also love sharing my friends over there in Macon, Mississippi, who make fabulous catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Why would you get it from anywhere else than made and produced right here in Mississippi? Visit mississippi.org. Oh yeah, man, it's a road trip awaiting. Let your fingers do the walking. A cash machine, gasoline, and we're out of here, because you don't have to be yourself till Monday. That's what you're going to see at Pearl River Resort. Come on, my friends over there. I'm Steve Azar. Later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.